I have a hard message to preach this morning, and if you don't stay right with me, you won't get it. And I want to preach it in love. I want to preach the truth in love, but it is a hard message to preach. You know, you'd like to come in after you've had a good revival meeting and preach something, boy, we can just shatter out about, amen? That's what I wanted to do. But the Lord's given me something that, be honest, I've never... Every time I've ever read this little portion of Scripture right here, I didn't like it because, and I think one of the reasons I didn't like it is because I didn't get it. And I love the Word of God, but there's some of it that I don't understand. And I can dig around it and still not get it, but until the Holy Spirit gives you something on it, there's nothing you can do with it. Y'all understand what I mean? So I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of Luke, chapter number 17. The book of Luke, chapter number 17. I will ask you to stand with us this morning. Last Sunday morning, we preached out of Luke, chapter number 15. And we preached about the lost sheep and the lost silver and the lost son. And then at least two times, this time out of 16, chapter number 17. And he begins to give them some excerpts in these first three or four verses here about forgiveness even further. And then when he gives them these lessons about forgiveness in verse 5, the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. You know it takes faith to forgive. And the Lord said, if you had faith as grain of mustard under this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. That's a great verse. But when plowing, say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. The word trow means to think. It says, I trow not. So likewise, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. I want to preach this morning on, and you'll notice as he gets, to this lesson on forgiveness, and it takes faith to give folks forgiveness, he begins to give this discourse on servanthood. And then in verses 11 through 19, though I won't read it, but he goes on to 10 lepers approach, and he cleansed that he became a servant unto them, and he cleansed them, and we know that only one came back to be thankful in those verses. Certainly, he's given us a certain dissertation on servanthood. We are reminded of this, and we'll pray. The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. To minister means to serve. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God. There are great portions of it, Father, that we don't understand. And even the portions that we do understand, we understand it so small. And I pray, Father, that you'd help us this morning by the power of the Holy Ghost to help us, Father, to make a small subject big. And I pray, Father, you'd help us to take the magnifier of the Spirit of God today and lift up this few verses, Father, today, that Jesus might be exalted. I like what John said. He said that he must increase and I must decrease. Lord, we need a whole lot more of Jesus and a whole lot less of Preacher Derrick. We need a whole lot more of Jesus and a whole lot less of us. God, I pray, Father, that as we give you our lives, that God, you'll get more of us and it'll be more for Jesus. God, we ask, Father, you to help us today to stand and help us to see this truth. God, I realize if we as a people that's come in this place today do not hear what the Spirit has to say to the church, we won't get it. God, today we want to get it. We want to be fed from the Word of God that we might get help. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Now, every one of us today that are saved folks in the house of God or all across the world, you are the children of a Most High God. It could be said that you are servants to God. Amen? Servants to God. I found this quote. One preacher said it like this. He said, "Most folks wish to serve God, but only in an advisory capacity." That's the truth, how folks want to show God what to do and when to do it. I got to thinking about the servanthood, and I got to thinking about Apostle Paul, how he said over there in Romans 1:1, he said, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ." That's what he said. Now, Paul, boy, one of the most educated theologians, one of the most knowledgeable men that you've ever been around in your life. He started on the foundation of Jesus Christ, church after church after church. He could have said a lot of great things about himself. I think that outside of Jesus himself, Paul was probably the greatest preacher that's ever put his feet on the ground. Yet he chose to say the words, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ." He said it again in Philippians 1:1. He said, "Paul and Timotheus, servants of Jesus Christ." He said in Titus, I got to thinking about James over there in James 1:1. He was the pastor at the church in Jerusalem. You know what he said about himself as he began to write James 1:1? He said, "James, a servant of God." He didn't say, "I'm the pastor." He didn't lift out anything else other than he was a servant of a Most High God. Simon Peter, that great one who was willing to speak great, bold, and wonderful words and big words, and a lot of times you get prideful. But listen to what he says in 2 Peter 1:1. He says, "Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus." He calls himself a servant. Even Jude himself says, "Jude, a servant of Jesus." I tell you what, this morning, church, there is nothing greater that can be said about you or about this church than that we are servants of Jesus. And that's true this morning that we are. F.B. Meyer, that great old-time man of God. Boy, I like to read some of his stuff, amen, and hear him preach where we can get audio copies. When he was 80-some years old, they brought him up on the stage there, and boy, he preached their deep. And they asked him after the service, they said, "What is your ambition at 80-some years of age and after these some-odd 60-plus or 70 years of serving God? What is your one ambition now, Brother Meyer?" He said, "I just want to be God's errand boy." Boy, it'd be good if you and I could get a hold of that. I remember when I used to pastor, I resigned the church. God had showed me to resign and we'd resign the church there. And Brother John Huntley, I was at a funeral visitation at a church. And he came by and he seen me and he said, "Boy, you come here. I want to talk to you about that." He told me to sit down. And, well, I parked there. And for about 45 minutes, he began to scold me and tan my hide and said, "Listen, you get back down there and you take that black back King James Bible and you tan their hide with it. You preach to them." He said, they ain't never been a move of God like that going on in that community since you've been at that church. Now you get right back down there." And I said, "Brother John," I said, "could I say one thing?" I listened 45 minutes. He called me everything he could without cussing me. I mean, he thought I'd just quit, is what he thought. He thought I'd just quit. And I said, "God told me to resign." He said, "All right, if God told you to resign, boy, where are you going?" I said, "You know what? There's a church over in Spruce Pine that I've got a real gig in my heart about right now. And I can't but help feel it. That's what's going to work out." And he said, "You tell me what's the name of that church." And he said, "I used to preach over in them parts." And when I told him, I said, "God's dealt with me about going to Bethel." He said, "Then what you waiting on? Get on with it then." Hey, man. Amen. I tell you what, it'd be best for you to choose to serve God. To be a servant of a Most High God. Now, when I read these verses, he begins to talk about doing all things that the servant was commanded of him to do. Even look at verse 9 again. He says, "Doth he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded him?" Does he give him thanks? He said, "I trow not." And he said, "So likewise, ye, when you shall have done all these those things which are commanded, you say, we are unprofitable servants. In other words, when you've done everything that God told you to do, you ought to say, we're unprofitable. Now I realize there's a lot of us, if we do just a little thing, not even all we're asked to do, we want acknowledged for it, pat it on the back for it, encouraged for it. And I want to get just past that this morning and say, I'm not trying to discourage you, but he says, if you do what you're commanded to do, what thanks do you have? That's what you're supposed to do. He said, you ought to still say you're unprofitable. Preacher, if it's unprofitable for me to do what I'm supposed to do, then I just ain't going to do it. Now, you got to understand something here. That's not what's implied. God's not going to welcome you home and say, welcome home, you unprofitable servant. You did everything I told you to do. That's not His viewpoint of it. What He's trying to say in these words is, I want your service, your servanthood, I want you to do what you're asked to do, and I want your viewpoint of what you do to be, I'm an unprofitable servant. I've just done what was expected of me to do. And He wants you to humble yourself. He wants you to have your viewpoint, your opinion of yourself to be that I am unprofitable. Why is that? Well, let me ask this question of you. A holy God, three times holy. Holy, holy, holy He is. Can a man be profitable to God? According to Job 22, verse 2, no. If you ain't careful, you'll walk in here today and say, I'm God's gift to the service. They'll not operate without me. There'll be a line to shake my hand. Some preachers think that. There'll be a line to shake my hand today. Let me tell you what, y'all. That's unprofitable stuff. And God, you hear what I'm going to tell you? God does not need us. We need God. Somebody said, He does need me. How would He get the message out? He chose a donkey before. Spoke to Balaam. Amen. Got his attention. Y'all thinking about Joshua. Don't leave this scripture. Don't put me on the clock yet. I'm still just warming up. Joshua chapter number 1. I'm going to try to preach quick, I promise. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. I want to speak something this morning. One little truth, and then we dive right into the message. This is just introduction. Joshua chapter 1, about servanthood. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. This is what I'm trying to say to y'all today. God's not looking for celebrities or stars. No, no. He's looking for servants. That's what He wants out of Bethel. That's what He wants. He's not wanting to make you a star. Oh, no. He just wants you to be His servant. Joshua chapter 1, old Moses, the man of God, has passed on. And in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, what was said about Moses? That great orator, that great leader, what was said about him? He was the servant of the Lord. It came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, I'll stop there. Y'all know his message. He said, Joshua, I've chose you to lead the people. Moses is dead, he's off the scene, and Joshua, I'm choosing you. Why do you think he chose Joshua? Joshua said, I'm going to be a servant to the servant. You didn't get that, did you? Let me say it again. Joshua was a minister to Moses. He was a servant of Moses as Moses followed God. Moses was a servant of God. Joshua was a servant to Moses. He said, I'll just take second fiddle and I'll be happy to play it. That ain't the way it is in most Baptist churches. I'm not going to sing on Tuesday night. I've got to sing on Sunday morning. That's the way we do. I've got to have the preeminence today. God's not happy with that. He wants that mess going on. Are you with me? I think about Earl Farley. Some of y'all don't know who he is. Brother Percy Ray will recognize a few names, a few folks will recognize him. Brother Percy Ray, one of the greatest men of God I've ever been around. Began Camp Zion down in Myrtle, Mississippi. Thousands, hundreds of thousands of folks have been saved down there. And when Brother Percy got sick and had a stroke and couldn't pastor anymore, and man, there's an uproar about who's we're going to get Dr. Zhivago and Reverend Tinkle and Symbol to come down here. And that's who we're going to get to lead this camp. God said, no, I'm choosing an old boy who's over the cafeteria. He's been slopping the people, feeding them all week long, three squares a day, there in the cafeteria. He was a servant to the servant. And when it came time for leadership, God said, that's who I want. I'm choosing Brother Earl. And God lifted up Brother Earl to be pastor there. Had seven deacons in that church. Great men. Fine men. Said, that's wonderful. But we don't want you to lead the camp. You can pastor the church. But when the camp, we want Dr. So-and-so to take over. And Brother Percy, even with a stroke, said, like if you're not leading the church here, you can't lead the camp here. That's what God wants. Seven men stood up, had a business meeting that morning, talking about it. One man said, son, you sit down. God's going to kill you. That afternoon, that man had a stroke. Had carried him off to Memphis, Tennessee, and then they carried him back in a coffin. God put all seven of them fine men, Christian men, seven of them, God put them in the ground because they wouldn't follow Brother Earl Farley. I ain't saying they wasn't saved. Well, it's getting quieter in here, ain't it? I ain't saying they wasn't saved. I'm just saying God put them in the ground because they wouldn't follow God's choice to lead Israel or to lead the people down the middle. Joshua, God's going to put them in the ground. That's God's choice. If you want to be used of God, you make yourself useful and be a servant to the servant. I'll tell you what, when I first got started, amen, my dad was a pastor, and you may say, well, that's because you're his son. And just be a servant to the servant. Just be, don't have to be seen. But I'm telling you what, sometimes people try to thank people. Well, I appreciate the message today. You don't get it, do you? The message wasn't from me to start with. It was from God. And if it got hooked up with any power, it wasn't me. It was some person who'd been praying. You didn't y'all thank them. They the one been praying for the message to go forward. Let's get into this parable here just a little bit. We've talked a little bit about service. Let's get into this Luke chapter 17. Let's dig on it just a little bit. God wants your viewpoint to be, we're just unprofitable servants. Why does he want us to have that viewpoint? Number one, he's trying to humble the haughty servant. We have a real tendency, if we're serving God, to be lifted up in pride. You see, we have flesh, and flesh likes praise, and flesh likes acknowledgement. Why, if you ain't careful, you'll go to Sunday school, some of you, and you'll come back, and somebody else didn't go to Sunday school, and you'll come out like you're better than somebody else, because you went to Sunday school. Say amen. God don't like that junk. God don't like it. He's against that stuff, trying to lift yourself up over somebody else. He's against it. I want everybody to go to Sunday school, but the last time I checked, the ground's still level at the foot of the cross. Okay? You hear what I'm... Preacher, what are you trying to tell me today? We get lifted up in pride, and I think young preachers is the worst about getting lifted up in pride other than anybody else in the church. And I'm going to say that because I is one. When I used to pastor, I just got elected. Man, I was so thankful. Just got elected. Somebody got sick, Brother Bobby. I took off down to the hospital. I'd worked all day at Steelcase. I had a shirt out there in the car. I changed my shirt because I was all sweaty, and I put me a necktie on and a nice pair of trousers and some Sunday shoes, you know. And I headed to the hospital. Pastor's going to go visit. That's what you want to go visit. And I get in there to visit and knock on the door and I have prayer there, and it was a wonderful visit. And I left and I got in the elevator and I went back downstairs and headed back out, and God said, "What was that?" I said, "I just went to go visit them." God said, "No." He said, "You win in your name." You see how lifted up in pride you was because you're a pastor? That's not why I made you a pastor. I made you a pastor because you're supposed to be humble. Now you march yourself right back up there and you do it my way. I said, "God, I can't do that. I just had prayer with them. They're going to think I'm a raving lunatic." God said, "If you don't go back my way, I'll take you out of this before you ever get started good." Okay. I went back there, got up the elevator, went back. I thought, what am I going to tell them? I was hoping I'd forgot something. I forgot my Bible. I forgot my prayer. I forgot something I was hoping. But really, you know what I forgot? I forgot to go in Jesus' name. Say amen. You do the same thing if you ain't careful why you do things, your motives and your mannerisms. And I got back up there and I began to weep. And I said, I come up here a minute ago as your pastor. And I got caught up in my pride. And I'm going to ask you to forgive me. And when I prayed, I know I prayed, but it wasn't much. And I'm going to ask you. And they said, preacher, I'd have never, no big deal. I said, no, it is a big deal. God told me to come back. And I've had to come back. And I got on my knees in there. I'm saying, what glory come down that day. And it helped me so much to learn. Don't be lifted up in pride because you sing a song. Don't be lifted up in pride because you preach a message. Don't be lifted up in pride because you teach a Sunday school class. Don't be lifted up in pride because you, it's just what your reasonable service. It's what God commanded you to do. Your viewpoint of what you do ought to be is, God, that's just what you told me to do, and it's, at best, I'm unprofitable. What could I add to God? What can this church add to God?
Bless you, Lord.
We can't add anything to Him, but He can add everything to us. And what He's wanting us to know here, He's wanting to humble the haughty servant. Lester Roloff made this statement. We can be too big for God to use, but never too small for God to use. You got to understand something this morning, that you and I are nothing without Jesus. But with Jesus, we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. You may say, well, I think God's greatest gifts are on the top shelf. You got to climb this ladder and get way up there and look around and get... No, no, no. Let me tell you where the best gifts are. You listening to me today? Humbling the haughty servant. God's best gifts is on the bottom shelf. Right down there on the ground when you hit your knees and nobody knows and you're in the prayer closet weeping and praying that God would save a sinner and He'd bless the preacher to preach and that people would respond and the church would be blessed and you're just wanting the person of God. That's where the power is. But there's not a lot of thanks in that here. And if you ain't careful, you'll desire to do some big thing so you can be seen, but you may be desiring it for the wrong reason. I never forget one night, Brother Chris, I'm telling you, we'd had a meeting. Man, God is moving, and in that service, Brother Jeff, oh man, God was moving, and stood at the back, and I thought, man, that was something. I knew it wasn't me, but it was something. God had come through, and somebody walked up to me and said, well, preacher, we've had some wonderful nights this week, haven't we? I said, yes, we have, and they said, but that wasn't one of them. And went out the door. It killed me. Oh, it hurt me so bad. In fact, I was at another church one time. We'd preached five messages. Man walks up to me, been there every night. He said, man, that's three of the most wonderful messages I ever heard. Three. I preached five times. What happened to the other two? Oh, come on now. No, listen, y'all do the same stuff. And you know why that happened? I was on my way home. I was praying, oh, God, I'm so hurt. This wasn't one of the best nights. And boy, if people say that, God said, I allowed that to be said to you to keep you humble. I want you to know that wasn't you preaching. I won't remind you of that. And it ain't going to bless everybody that comes anyhow. Don't even think it's going to start. I want to say this to you right now. Maybe somebody said something to you hurtful. You realize God may be using that to try to keep you humble. He's trying to hit the release valve on your big old balloon you've got blowed up. You may look at me today and say, I'm not a bit haughty. If you're in the flesh, listen, if you have flesh like I do, you'll get haughty. I got to tell you, it's on my mind. I'll never forget, I went to the hospital up at Party Hospital. I always slipped, Brother Steve, where you park. It was easier to slip through the emergency room to go up there to the floors than to get to the back elevators. It's quicker. And so I was in a hurry like I usually am. And I went through the emergency room and I had on my shirt, my tie. God just spoke to me about doing it that way. And I went up through there. And as I went by, there's people in the emergency room. And somebody yelled, preacher. And I stopped and turned around. And there was a woman standing there. She had a baby in her arms. And she leaned it out of her chest like so. And the baby was bleeding. She said, he's been attacked by a dog. Would you pray? I said, yes, ma'am, I will. I didn't even know who she was, but she knew I was a preacher because of the way I was dressed. If I'd just been regular Joe, I'd just went right on by. She wouldn't have stopped me because of the way I was dressed. She said, preacher! And I stopped and went back. And I got down there and began to call on God. And we began to pray and pray and pray. And I kind of stayed with them for a little while. And they finally got it back there and they started working with the child. And the child's okay. God spoke to me and said, that's what I told you to do. When you go to visit, unless you're called out somewhere, I want you to look like you're God's man.
I'm not wearing a tie to be lifted up with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it turns people off for me to walk through with a tie on because they know I'm God's man. And they hate that. They hate that about me.
I'm going to tell you something, y'all. The best thing you'll ever do is be a servant of a Most High God. And humble yourself and do what God said do, rather than just make it adaptable for your own desires, your flesh. Let me move on.
Why did God say, I want you to be, say you're an unprofitable servant? To humble the haughty servant.
Yep. And also to heal the hurting servant. Your flesh gets hurt because it didn't get recognized. It didn't get thanked. It didn't get asked. Maybe your name wasn't in the bulletin. I remember one time, me and Gene had been at church, and we thanked some folks that had done some things for us. And after the service, we had somebody line us up after the service was over. It's not here. This is where it used to be. Lined us up in their gun barrel sights and said, we're quitting. We're out of here, man. That's it. That's enough. I said, what's wrong?
You got in that pulpit. You thanked everybody but me. Your wife hugged everybody's neck, but didn't hug mine. I wanted to say, if you're in it for a neck hug, or if you're in it because the preacher needs to mention your name from the pulpit, you got it all backwards. And we began to talk with them for some time, and I'm telling you what, my wife tell you, it took about 3 weeks of meetings with them people, trying to show them that we really did love them. We didn't slight them. Maybe God allowed that to happen to bring them down a notch or two. But we love them to this day, amen. And I want to say, what, preacher? What do you mean?
I want to say there's some of you, you're getting hurt because you ain't getting appreciated like you want to be. You're not being acknowledged like you want to be.
I can take you to preachers right now that I spoke to. He said the preacher up the road got a big acknowledgement when he had been there and done this. And when he had done this, and nobody appreciates me. I think I'm just going to quit. If you're in it for that, but for a thank you, you're in it for the wrong reason. You don't realize what service is, do you? Service is a privilege. Service is your way of saying thanks to God. It's not about people thanking you. It's you thanking God. That's why somebody, when we vacuum the floors here, amen, it ought to be in service to God. Not because somebody wants to be thanked, but because they want to say, thank you, Lord, for cleaning up my life. Someone passes the church, they're not here for you to pat them on the back. Good message, that's great, wonderful. Oh, you're the only reason we come. Wrong answer. That preacher needs to preach because he's just trying to thank God for saving him, and he's surrendered to a calling that God's placed on his life. You know why you teach them Sunday school classes? It's not for somebody to get up here and write your name down and pat you on the back. You're teaching them classes to say thank you to God for blessing you and saving your soul. You know what you sing in this choir? You don't get up there and bless God because you so-and-so got the best voice and you want to be acknowledged that I'm on the front row or I'm on the fourth row. I anchor the back, the bass section. I'm this and I'm... No, no, no. You get up here and sing, amen, because you're trying to thank Him, hallelujah, who saved you.
David Livingstone, that great missionary who went to Africa, gave up years and years of his life to go to those tribes and to preach the gospel that people, and thousands were saved. Churches were began. Changes were made eternally in people's lives. A man walked up to him and said, I want to ask you about your sacrifice that you've made. What do you think? He said, wait. Sacrifice. What sacrifice? Well, you give up your whole life living in America to go live overseas with, and you've been mistreated. And he said, you don't understand something. I'm just doing what God called me to do. If you want to ask about sacrifice, talk to the one who died on the cross. He is not us. We're just doing what God told us to do. I want to say today, He's trying to tell you this. How's He trying to heal the hurting servant? He's trying to teach you today, y'all. Just do what God commands you to do and don't worry about the thanks from people. I knew it was going to get quieter and quieter here because I knew it was going to be tough. Number 3, and I'm done. He wants to send hope
to the hopeless servant. That's why He wants you to view yourself as unprofitable. He wants to send hope to the hopeless servant. Now, I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm trying to encourage you. Say some of you, you sit here. Case in point. I did this Monday night. Brother Craig Evers, glory to God. He sent over there and started playing the piano. Man, he started singing and playing the piano, and I thought, glory to God. To be a preacher and preach like that's one thing. But to be able to have that ability and that talent, man, I wish I could do that. Y'all ever thought that before? You ever said, golly, I wish I could sing like that. I wish I had a touch of God like that, to preach like that. I wish I could teach like that. I wish I could testify. You know, we'll do that. But we can't. I could jump up there today, and I can't play just like that. It'd be a mess. And a lot of you'd leave. But the devil then jumps on your shoulder and says, yeah, well, you can't do anything like that. And because you can't do anything like that, you're a waste of time as a Christian, and I don't even know why you're taking up this space being on the pew. That's what the devil's trying to say. And some of you today, you feel helpless. And you're hurting. And maybe some's been a little haughty. But can I turn it around just a little bit for you? Will you think just a minute? I want you to put your thinking cap on. This will be hard. Let me spin it around for you just a second. If the Bible says, if you're doing all that's commanded you, that your viewpoint of your service to God is to be, at best, I'm unprofitable. That means that when this great choir started to sing today, and this is one, glory to God, it's a great choir. Man, I love good singing all week long, good specials. But when we got up here and sung, as our service to God, we're to view it as unprofitable. Ain't that what He's saying? He said, if it's your service to God, you're doing what you're commanded, your viewpoint ought to be, we are unprofitable. You didn't get it, did you? If the choir this morning, you may say, it blessed me, but did it bless? Listen, what are we going to add to God? We're just praising His name, but what are we going to add to Him? It didn't add anything to Him. He already was and is. He's complete. You can't. He's not, listen, He's not growing. He's already mature. You ain't got. So if the choir this morning, at best, and I'm not, Brother Calvin, I don't mean to degrade. But at best this morning, if our musicians, as wonderful as they are, was unprofitable, then what's your reason for sitting back here in your pew and saying, man, I tell you, I can't carry a lick. I wish I could sing like that. Boy, I'm telling you what, I'd love to go up there and give her a whirl one time, but I know if I went up there, man, that'd throw me out. Listen, if the choir's already unprofitable, you ain't going to hurt it. You know why He did that? You know why He said that your viewpoint ought to be that? That way the ground stays level. Amen. We're all even in the sight of God. Amen. And we ought to all be even in our own sight. But our viewpoint sometimes ain't that. Wait till they get a load of me. Wait till they hear me. Wait till they see me. God said wrong. I'm kind of hurt. I'm kind of mad about I'm not being asked. Hey, God said wrong. Wrong. I want you to have that attitude. Now, you just turn to your feet. I'm done this morning. Please stand. I don't care how polished you are this morning, how good your ability, I'm promising you the first thing you need to do is say, God, that's just what You commanded me to do. And I dare say there's probably not a person in this building that can stand up and say, I've done all God commanded me to do. That's why I keep saying we're unprofitable at best. Well, preacher, this year, you're just really, you've discouraged me with this message. This, instead of being an encouragement, you've discouraged me. Oh, I'm sorry to let the air out of your balloon. But I want to let you know that this has never been about you. It's always been about Him. And that's why He made these statements here. But Paul said, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. He could have said a lot of stuff, but he said, I'm just a servant. I'm just doing what He called me to do. James said, servant of Jesus. I remember Jude said, we read it, you heard it, a servant of God. Boy, don't ever get over being a servant. There's a lot of wonderful positions that this world may offer, but you'll never have a higher position in the eyes of Almighty God than to be one of His servants. I just want to face somebody here in this building and say, preacher, I've had a haughty spirit. I'm telling you, I've had a haughty spirit sometimes, and I need to crucify it down. Preacher, I've been hurting about some stuff here lately, and boy, I need some healing. Maybe there's somebody else that said, preacher, I felt completely helpless. Maybe I will go sing in the choir tonight. Next time, I want to confess myself to you, unprofitable. I got to read it again. We're unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. I can't even say that. I've not done everything that's been my duty to do. And I want to run to the altar, and I want to say, God, I just want to be your simple servant. No more, no less. And I want to ask you to touch me today and help me, fill me, use me for your glory. Your head's bowed. Folks already come to the altar this morning. Hope God's speaking to hearts, but everybody on the same level today. He loves us all the same. I wish someone come this morning and play on the instruments. Nobody's looking around. Might be somebody this morning say, oh, I need just to myself. Hit that altar and say, oh, God, would you help me? Oh, God, would you help me? I'm hurting, and I feel so helpless. We're going to pray together this morning. Friend, what do you need to do this morning? Has He spoken to your heart? Bow this morning to pray. Father, we thank You for Your blessings. God, You've been so good to us. Lord, this morning, Father, I want to confess to You at best, I'm unprofitable. God, there's been so many times I've tried to do things my way, and well, I didn't care. I thought, if they don't like it, they'll just get over it. I don't care what people think, but yet, God, really and truthfully, at times we do. God, we bow on this altar here and we say, God, would You help us? Fall this morning to be humble. The Scripture says God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Give us a humble spirit, not a haughty spirit. God, it may be that some of us think, boy, God's really blessing at Bethel. Boy, we're really praising His name up there. And if we ain't careful, we'll start thinking around here that God's only God at Bethel. And if you go to church somewhere else, you're going to second or third best. God, that's wrong. God, that's wrong. Oh, Elijah had that problem. He said he was the only one still serving God. And God said, wrong. I got 1,000 that's not bowed my knee to Baal. And you're 1,001. Lord, I pray, God, You'd help us not to be so haughty. God, You blessed us with 7 souls being saved and a wonderful revival spirit. But God, help us not to be lifted up in ourselves. But let us exalt the name of Jesus. Because He blessed us in spite of ourselves. And God, at best, we're unprofitable. Why, God, we come to church all week, but that was just our duty. God, thank You for that. Lord, I pray this morning, Father, for that hurting servant, that God, You'd heal him. God, I don't know why we react the way we do, but and why things get said the way they're said, but sometimes, God, those things are said that we might get help. I remember Shimei cussed David. I mean, he told David off, and David just took it because he said, I deserve that. It would help him. And Lord, I think this morning about that one that's hopeless. And God thinks they're nothing, and the devil's got them convinced they can't do anything. Oh, God, if they've been chosen a servant, they can do all through Jesus Christ. And God, they can just be profitable just like everybody else. But God, You're not trying to say, no, sir. You're not trying to say that in our service that we're unprofitable to You, that You're displeased with us, God. You want us to serve You and obey Your voice. And I pray, God, You'd give us strength to do so in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.